Let's talk about what legislation is pending before Congress this week and how that might shake out.
Well, we've got three bills that will be on the floor this week that are worth noting. The first is the Coal Combustion Residuals Act, which deals with stopping the EPA's treatment of coal combustion byproducts when they come out of power plants. The second one is a Food Labeling Act. The third one, which is probably the most, topical for the folks in Brazos Valley, is the Sanctuary Cities Act that's been introduced by Duncan Hunter.
Before we do that, let's go back to coal for just a minute. Now, is this going to be a directive from the EPA that goes into effect without any action from Congress?
Well, they've already tried to do that, and what we're trying to do is to stop them. I'm not sure how successful it'll be because the Senate usually doesn't get in line with us very well. Then the president vetoes everything that's good for the country.
Well, you certainly have some coal-producing plants in your district, so what is that going to do to us here in Texas? Because we do have a lot of coal in Texas.
It's going to raise the cost of electricity pretty substantially. It also raises the cost of our roads and our wallboard and stuff like this. Coal combustion residuals are inert products that have not been proven to be harmful, and they're also used in a variety of other products. So if it's not available anymore, then your cost of wallboard goes up, which means the cost of your house goes up, the cost of building roads goes up. It's just another not well thought out idea by the EPA.
Well, and again, the fact that it can go in effect without the power of law, without the power of Congress, and it impacts our everyday lives is something that I think folks are frustrated about. And let's go with sanctuary cities now. Once again, looking at that may be you would cut funding for sanctuary cities, basically, on what levels and how?
That's essentially correct. What we're doing is cutting some funding to local police departments when the law is not being followed. When federal law is not being followed by the cities.
Now, Bill Flores joining us from D.C. A second Planned Parenthood video has come out that's just about as grotesque as the first one. With that in mind, is there any movement afoot in D.C. that funding for Planned Parenthood could be cut? And if so, what is that likelihood?
Yes, there is, and I think it's pretty likely. We've got to have some hearings first to find out. I mean, we could just pass a bill and say, hey, we're going to defund Planned Parenthood. And actually, many times over the last 4.5 years that I've been in Congress, we've introduced amendments to appropriations bills to defund Planned Parenthood. But the problem is that you have in the Senate, it gets added back in, and you wind up with a government shutdown type of situation. So we've got to change the thinking on this in the Senate. Now, the good news is I think the senators are starting to pay attention to what Planned Parenthood, the Democratic senators paying attention to what Planned Parenthood really is, in terms of being a murder machine. And as a result of that, I think we may have better luck. Now, but we need to have hearings and also figure out, do we need to change the law so that Planned Parenthood can't be selling body organs?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I want to move now to the shooting in Chattanooga. I don't think we've really gotten a chance to talk about that much, and the fact that now after 5 days, finally the president has decided to lower the flags at the embassies and federal buildings.
That's correct. Now, when Congress came back into session yesterday, we were out of session when the shootings happened, and we got back into session yesterday. We immediately lowered the flag to half staff, or actually we put the flag up because it's not up when we're not in session. We put the flag up and then lowered it to half mast. And that shamed the president doing the same thing finally, but it took him 5 days. He could have done it on day one.
Bill Flores joining us from D.C. We've been talking for months, and the funding ended in June for XM Bank. They continue to try to keep that alive with a bill over in the Senate that they thought tied to the highway bill would have to pass, but it sounds like even that bill is in trouble right now. What's the likelihood of that getting out and being attached?
Well, Mitch McConnell's not paying much attention to what the American people want. And he's trying to do a 6-year highway bill that's only half paid for, and it basically reauthorizes the highway programs the way they are today, which means you're going to send a bunch of money to Amtrak, and a bunch of money to transit systems, and you're basically diverting the gas tax to a bunch of other uses. Worse yet, it's only half paid for. It's a 6-year bill, but he's only got pay for it for 3 years of it. So. I don't think he's going to get out of the Senate, which means he won't be successful in attaching. I mean, he may try to attach XM to it, but I don't think he's going to be successful in getting the bill out of the Senate.
Well, then we still got to have a highway bill. And once again,
Well, the House has already done its work. It passed a short-term extension through December, And then Paul Ryan, the Ways and Means Committee, are coming up with pay for us for a six-year bill.
Now, of course, the idea, too, is, once again, is Republican leadership not doing what they're supposed to be doing, and that's listening to the American people.
Well, in the Senate, it seems like they're not. I think we've done the right thing in the House. I mean, I can't imagine what the American people want, and you know, it's different than what the House did.
Right. Well, we don't comment on presidential politics much, and I don't like to. But Donald Trump is a Republican, and Donald Trump is making headlines maybe for all the right or wrong reasons, but be that as it may, the way he looks at the way government is run is resonating with people. Now, as a member of leadership with the Republican Study Group, I mean, you have the attention of a whole lot of people in Congress. What does that mean, the signals, not so much what he is saying, but the signal that supporters are saying that they're not pleased with the way Washington is operating? What do you do when you talk about that?
Well, I have to tell everybody that I agree with it. I did a Tea Party meeting in Freestone County on Monday night, and these folks are just mad as heck at everything, and I don't blame them. And then when I walk them through the process, and you kind of have to start with the Constitution and say, okay, the House can do something, and we've done a whole lot of stuff that the American people want. And then the next thing is you got to get the Senate to go along, and the Senate hadn't been very good about it. And the third thing is you got to get the president to sign this stuff. And you know, I said, how are you? And then if he vetoes it, you got to get an override. So, you know, when you walk everybody through what's not getting done that they want to get done, and they finally figure out where the problems are, then they sort of understand the House is doing the people's work, but the president and the Senate are not where we'd like them to be.
Well, none of us are better off for that situation, that's for sure. Finally, Ash Carter spoke yesterday with Benjamin Netanyahu, and he said it's okay for friends to disagree. Obviously, Netanyahu not pleased at all of the deal. And I'd also like to get your thoughts on the fact that the U.N. Security Council went ahead and voted 15-0 to support the agreement, even though Congress has not acted yet.
The Iranian deal is a bad deal, and in Congress we're going to do everything that we can to stop it. I don't care what the U.N. does. I mean, my voting card's not for the U.N. The people of the United States of America elected me to office. They don't like this deal, and we're going to do everything we can to stop it. I'm going to go to Israel in the middle of August, and we'll have a chance to visit with Netanyahu personally then and find out what his reactions are. Also, the Republican Study Committee is planning on having the Israeli ambassador come speak to us, as well as one of our friends in the Middle East from an Arab country, an Arab ambassador, to talk to us about the way those two groups of folks look at this bill. Neither one of them like it either.
We'll look forward to hearing about that. Bill Flores joins us most every Wednesday. You can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. Again, as always, we appreciate the time.
You bet. I'd ask your listeners to continue praying for our country, our military men and women, and our first responders.
All right, thanks.